Hello and welcome to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast, where each week, Pastor Jeff Cranston explores biblical theology that provides practical life applications in an understandable way. Thanks for joining us at the table. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Kitchen Table Theology. I'm your host, Tiffany Coker. Along with my dad, Pastor Jeff Cranston, we are seeking not only to help you know deep, solid biblical theology, but to know the Word of God and the promises of God that are given to us in His Word, all while holding to solid theological truths in your heart, soul, and mind. And we do this because we agree with what theologian Charles Hodge says. The gospel is so simple that small children can understand it, and it is so profound that the studies by the wisest theologians will never exhaust its riches. Each time we dive into the scriptures, God has something for us to learn. Last week here on Kitchen Table Theology, we had a quiz, and we had two winners last week, two people who had a perfect score.
Way to go.
So Diane and Susan, congratulations. We are so proud. And we are going to send you both a coffee mug and some of Pastor Jeff's favorite Southern pecan coffee in the mail this week. So be on the lookout for that.
Congratulations. Very well done. That's very cool. Yeah. Hello again, Kitchen Table Theologians. And yes, ladies, well done on winning. Thanks for playing along, everybody. Hope you did well. I heard from a few people who missed one. And Tiff, your mom hasn't taken the quiz yet, and she usually does pretty well, but she already has access to the mugs and the coffee, so we should be safe there with her. And also, we received a question recently from one of our listeners by the name of Karen, and I've actually been thinking about doing an entire podcast on her question regarding burial versus cremation. We may just do an entire sort of a bonus podcast on that before too long, so stay tuned for that. But today, we are going to look at the second letter of the two, which Paul the Apostle wrote that we have in our New Testament to this fledgling, immature, but growing, rapidly growing church located in the city of Corinth, and that would be, of course, 2 Corinthians.
Back in podcast number 165, just a couple episodes ago, when we studied 1 Corinthians, we did a lot of background on Corinth and the church there. So we'll maybe forego some of that today. But if you missed that episode, maybe go back, give that a listen, and that can really provide you with some of the important background information. I wonder, Dad, though, is there any other background that might be helpful for us to know regarding 2 Corinthians in particular? If Paul felt the need to write them a second time, there must have been a reason for that. So why did he do that?
Yeah, that's a good observation. And there was a definite purpose in Paul's second letter. And I'll try to make this brief. So here we go. Hang with me. You might recall in our 1 Corinthians podcast, hearing that during Paul's stay in Ephesus, messengers came from Corinth with some questions, and Paul answered those questions in 1 Corinthians. So it appears that sometime later, Paul learned of continuing difficulties at Corinth. Corinth was a real bit of a mess of it. They had all kinds of crazy dysfunctional stuff going on. So Paul apparently heard about more difficulties, and he made a pretty quick trip from Ephesus to Corinth and back. And that visit did not go well. And Paul later referred to it as a quote-unquote painful visit. We don't know many details about what made that visit painful, but apparently one or more of the believers at Corinth opposed and or seriously offended Paul. So, Tiff, how about reading what Paul said about that?
Yes. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me." And then in that same chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit."
So that tells us that a man, and there was possibly more than one person, but at least one person, caused Paul offense or opposed him, and it caused a lot of distress in Paul's heart and mind. A little later on, when Paul was able to meet up with Titus, probably at Philippi, possibly though at Thessalonica, Paul was overwhelmed with joy as he heard from Titus about the Corinthians' genuine repentance about some of the things Paul had already written to them about, and their deep affection for Paul, their spoken loyalty that they felt toward Paul. So, yeah, so much for, I said this was going to be brief, but so much for that. But in summary, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. He wrote it from Macedonia to express thanksgiving for the repentance and the renewed obedience of the Corinthian believers. And he also wrote to encourage them to complete their collection. It was an offering. They were collecting money to aid the poor Christians or poorer Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul also, in 2 Corinthians, defended his ministry against the accusations of those he referred to as false apostles in Corinth, who apparently were within the churches, and they were challenging his authority and his integrity.
All right, that gives us some good background into this letter. And with all of that in mind, with podcast 165 covering the overall background, the authorship, we talked about the date, we talked about, gave us a little bit of knowledge about Corinth as a city. Since we've done all of that, why don't we just go ahead and jump in with some of our key theological themes of 2 Corinthians. You sent them to me before here, and I've got them in front of me. You've tried to boil each one down to one word and then give us some explanation. So are you ready to get started with
that? Yeah, Marie, let's go.
All right. The first theme that you mentioned is discovered in the word exchange. And you reference 2 Corinthians 5:21. So I'll read that for us. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
Yeah, so exchange, that idea, is about exchanging our sin for Christ's righteousness. It's a key theological theme in this letter. And the theological term for that is called imputation. Imputation, I-M-P-U-T-A-T-I-O-N. And we run into this not only here in 2 Corinthians, but throughout much of Paul's writings, imputation. And Paul describes an exchange that takes place between Christ and those who turn to him in faith and repentance. And in his letters, Paul describes the work of Christ in a few different ways. For instance, in Romans 5, Paul says that just as Adam's practice of disobedience had an impact on all people, so Christ's practice of righteousness avails and covers all people. In Philippians 2, Paul describes Christ as one equal with God who emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death. And those two ideas are present together in 2 Corinthians 5. Now, let's be very clear. Paul never infers that Jesus was sin or a sinner. What Tiffany read there in verse 21 of chapter 5, he became the offering for our sin. So he was never guilty of sin, but he took our sin upon himself. And let me put it this way. The best context to discuss that is within the doctrine of imputation.
Let's hold on there for just a second, because I think maybe that's a big concept for us. Imputation. Can we maybe dig a little bit deeper and gain some understanding there of what exactly that concept means?
Yeah, and as always, or usually what helps is a story. So one of the parables of Jesus, I think, really touches on the doctrine of imputation. We find this well illustrated in the wedding banquet that Jesus talked about in Matthew 22. And real quick, guests are invited to this king's celebration banquet from every street corner, and they are brought in, and the Bible says, the bad as well as the good. And all of the guests here have something in common. Everybody's given a wedding garment to wear to the banquet. They're not to wear their street clothes in the banquet hall, but they're to be dressed in the garment that the king provided them. So they are literally covered in a gracious gift. So in a similar way, we, as people, guests invited into God's family, we have been given, when we come to Christ, the pure white robe, as it were, of Christ's righteousness. And we receive that as it's a gift of God. It's grace by faith. So on the cross, our sin was imputed to Christ. That is, that's how Christ paid for our sin debt to God. He had no sin in himself, but our sin was imputed or attributed or covering him, so to speak. And so as he suffered on the cross, he took the just penalty that our sin deserves. At the same time, through faith, Christ's righteousness was imputed to us. Our sin was laid upon him. He paid the just penalty for our sin. And at the same time, there was a two-for-one exchange here. Christ's righteousness covered us. So now, in Christ, we can stand before God sinless, positionally sinless, not experientially sinless yet, but positionally sinless, just as Jesus is sinless. We're not righteous in ourselves, but Christ's righteousness has been applied to us. That's the exchange.
I'll be honest. When I was preparing for this today, that word seemed a little bit big and overwhelming. Thought I might need to know what it meant. So I looked up the definition, and I actually found a children's definition, thanks to Google. And I think it was Merriam-Webster. But it says, giving the blame or the credit to someone else. Mm-hmm. And I really think that you have explained that so well for us. Jesus took on our blame, our sin, the penalty that we deserve. Right. And at the same time, we were given the credit for Christ's righteousness, which that's such a great picture to me of God's love for us and how he is able to accept us as his children.
And so that's one of the key themes in 2 Corinthians. Kitchen table theologian, you may have already forgotten after all that what book we were even talking about, but we're in 2 Corinthians. And Tip,
we took a side
track. Yeah, I scrolled back the other day through all of our episodes and discovered that Jen and I discussed imputation, among one or two other things, in episode number 115.
That was why I Googled it, because I recognized the word and figured you all had discussed it before, and I better know what
we didn't spend a lot of time on it, but we definitely did cover it.
Cover it. Okay. So kitchen table theologian, there you go. If you want to learn a little bit more regarding your imputed righteousness, go back to episode 115. But moving on, let's get back to 2 Corinthians. That was our first theme. Our second theme here is generosity.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians has 13 chapters, and two of these chapters, 8 and 9, are regarding a collection of funds for the poorer churches located in and around Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind that the distance between Jerusalem and Corinth was, and still is, about 815 miles. So you Googled imputation. I Googled travel distance. I Googled how you would travel that today. And depending on your mode of transport, it would take you between 7.5 and 11.5 hours to get from Corinth to Jerusalem. That's using trains, buses, and an airplane flight. So I say that so we understand that to the first century Corinthians, Jerusalem may as well have been on another planet. Paul wanted them to know that we are all part of the same body of Christ, and he wanted them to know your brothers and sisters in Jerusalem are in need. So there was an encouragement and a challenge to be generous and help out the family of faith. And in those two chapters, Paul makes two theological points. First is, God will provide the means by which the Corinthians may be generous. When you're asked to give, look, let's just all be honest. Whether you're in church or anywhere, and somebody says, hey, can you give to this need or this project or whatever? A lot of times our first reaction is, I really can't afford that. And I'm wondering if that didn't come up with the Corinthians, because Paul tells them, look, God will provide the money that you are to give in order to be generous people. And the second theological point is that the very act of sharing possessions with others who are in need is a way of thanking God for the provision that you've received. And not to prolong this too much, but just this past weekend here at Low Country Community Church, we had a food drive. We collected and gave around 7,000 pounds of food to one of our local food banks here. And so what Paul teaches in that act of generosity to people who are in need, we are in giving, thanking God for what we have received. So a cool thing there. But generosity is very much a theme in 2 Corinthians as well.
That is very cool. So we have exchange and then we have generosity. The third theme that we see in 2 Corinthians is the theme of glory. Tell us a little bit, what is that about?
Yeah, chapter 3, Paul contrasts the glory of the giving of the law at Sinai in Exodus 34 with the glory of the new covenant. And Paul says, I'm a minister of the new covenant. So there was an old covenant, there was a new covenant. We were striving under the law. Now we're under grace by faith in Christ. So in the first case, Exodus 34, the glory of God was so obvious, and kitchen table theologian, you may remember this. The glory of God was so obvious in Moses' face that his face was shining, and he had to wear a veil over his face so as not to frighten the people of Israel when he came back from meeting with God. And Paul takes that and extends the metaphor of God's glory transferred to humans as God interacts with them so that in Christ, it's not just leaders like Moses whose faces are shining with God's glory, but all of us. He says the glory of God is on and in all of us now because of what Christ has done.
So speaking of a new covenant, that's another theme that we see throughout this book as well.
Yeah. So real quick, that's right. It is the new covenant. See, Israel had broken the old covenant. And when that occurred, the prophet Jeremiah declared God will establish a new covenant, one that would be written on the heart. The other covenant was written on stone tablets. Jeremiah says the new covenant that God's going to create is going to be written in people's hearts. So when we get to 2 Corinthians, Paul's interpreting what Jeremiah taught in terms of the work of God in Christ. So as Jeremiah had quoted God saying that he would write the covenant on human hearts, the new one. So Paul says that the Corinthians are themselves. He calls them, he says, you are a letter of Christ. A letter of Christ written, and here's what he says, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And I think that's just such an incredible word picture, that God has taken his new covenant now and written it on our hearts.
Yes, that is. Let's recap quickly here. We have exchange, generosity, glory, new covenant, and then another theme, and I think this is a word that every Christian really should love, is the theme of reconciliation.
Yeah, and this is the last one for today. This letter of 2 Corinthians includes one of the simplest, most elegant statements of the Christian gospel. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:19, for God was in Christ reconciling, there's the word, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Paul taught that sin is this power that enslaves humans and is intent on separating us from God, but God in Christ breaks the hold that sin has on humanity and reconciles us to himself. And so Paul says, as recipients, as people who have been reconciled yourselves, then we are given that message of reconciliation to tell others that they in turn may also be reconciled to God.
I think there's a lot for all of us to take away from Paul's letter to that church in Corinth and things that are still applicable to us today. So Thanks so much for listening to our Kitchen Table Theology podcast with Pastor Jeff Cranston. If you are enjoying the podcast, would you take just a second and leave us a rating or a review on iTunes? We really do appreciate your help in getting the word out, as that is the best way for other people to hear about Kitchen Table Theology and continue on their journey as we learn and apply God's word to our lives. Don't forget, you can always check out today's episode notes and more at jeffcranston.com. If you have any questions or anything you need to share with us, you can email us anytime, pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. As always, thanks are due to our friends at Low Country Community Church here in Bluffton, South Carolina, and at Streamline Podcasts for making this podcast possible. We're also very grateful for our friends at Columbia International University. For 100 years, CIU has educated people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. They have undergraduate, graduate, and seminary programs, both on campus and online, that are specifically designed for working adults. So if you're interested in that, you can check all of that out at ciu.edu. Next week, Lord willing, we will explore the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. I'm looking forward to that one. Until then, always remember that the real power of theology is not only knowing it, but applying it. Thanks for joining us at the table.
You've been listening to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast with Pastor Jeff Cranston. Join us next time for more insights into biblical truth. If you'd like to know more on today's topic, please check out our show notes. If you have a question from today's podcast, kindly email us at pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you consider leaving a rating and review? We deeply appreciate your help in getting the word out. And be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app to continue this journey with us as we learn about and apply God's word to our lives. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at Kitchen Table Theology.